Good day, KVNF listeners. This is your regional newscast for Wednesday, January 28th. I'm Brody Wilson. Thanks so much for listening. It's Water Wednesday here at KVNF, and we're going to spend a couple minutes talking about the state of the drought on the Western Slope. We had a nice storm this last weekend that brought some much-needed moisture to the Western Slope, but nothing getting us anywhere near normal snowpacks for this time of year. Colorado's snowpack statewide is off to one of the worst starts on record, and water managers say that the odds of a late-season turnaround are slim. According to the U.S. Natural Resources Conservation Service, statewide snowpack is at a record low for this point in the winter. Conditions in the Colorado River headwaters basin are at record lows as well. That matters because Colorado's mountain snowpack acts as a natural reservoir, supplying most of the water that's used by the 40 million people that live downstream on the Colorado River. At a January 22nd water conditions briefing, State Snow Survey Supervisor Brian DeMacus said Colorado is already more than halfway through the snow accumulation season. On average, snow monitoring sites across the state currently hold about 4.8 inches of snow water equivalent. Normally, that number would be closer to 8.5 inches by late January. To finish the winter with near normal snowpack, Colorado would need roughly 145% of normal snowfall for the rest of the season, something that has only happened a handful of times in the past 40 years. For the Western Slope specifically, the picture is also concerning. In the Gunnison Basin, which covers most of the KVNF listening area, the snow water equivalent sits in the 7th percentile of the 30-year average. In the Colorado River Headwaters Basin, which includes most of the Grand Mesa, snowpack is at the 0th percentile of the 30-year average, meaning it's lower than it has ever been in the last 30 years. The San Miguel Basin, which covers Telluride and much of the southern San Juans, is in only slightly better shape, sitting at the 8th percentile. There are still 76 days left until the normal peak snowpack in Colorado, so there's still a lot of winter left in the high country, but our start so far is nearly the worst on record. This dry start to winter comes at a critical moment for the Colorado River as a whole. Negotiators from the seven basin states are running out of time to reach a new agreement on how the river will be managed after the current rules expire later this year. A deadline to reach consensus is approaching in mid-February, and recent talks have failed to produce a breakthrough. Without a seven-state deal, federal officials could be forced to impose a management plan with fewer tools to prevent reservoir levels from crashing at Lake Powell and Lake Mead. Water experts say low snowpack in Colorado, where much of the river's water originates, rises the stakes of those negotiations, especially for the upper basin states like Colorado. A key piece to the future operation of the Colorado River Basin is the environmental impact of any agreed-to plan. Well, the Bureau of Reclamation isn't waiting around to start this lengthy and often bureaucratic process of assessing the environmental impact of different operating scenarios. On January 9th, the Bureau of Reclamation released a draft environmental impact statement, laying out options for how the Colorado River system could be managed after 2026 when the current operating rules expire. The draft analyzes multiple alternatives for operating Lake Powell's and Mead under long-term drought and climate change conditions. Federal officials say that the draft environmental impact statement is intended to guide future decisions if, or when, states fail to reach a unified agreement. The draft environmental impact statement was published in the Federal Register on January 16th, triggering a 45-day public comment period that runs through March 2nd. Bureau of Reclamation will also hold two virtual public meetings. One is tomorrow, January 29th, and the other is on February 10th. Both are open to the public and available in Spanish. Water managers say that the combination of low snowpack, stalled interstate negotiations, and the release of the draft environmental impact statement underscores how little time remains to shape the river's future and how consequential the next couple months will be. Forecasters say that some snow is expected in the coming weeks, but not nearly enough to reverse the current trends. KVNF will continue to keep you up to date on what's happening with the Colorado River negotiations and our snowpack as the winter continues. And federal auditors say Congress could throw out the resource management plan for the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument, using an obscure rule called the Congressional Review Act. The Government Accountability Office issued its opinion last week after a request from Utah's congressional delegation, saying the plan qualifies as a federal rule that Congress could repeal. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanez has more.
In 2017, the first Trump administration drastically reduced the size of the monument in southern Utah. The Biden administration then restored Grand Staircase to its original size and drafted a new resource management plan prioritizing conservation, which was finalized a year ago. Here's Utah Representative Celeste Malloy.
The locals oppose it. Trail users oppose it. The local agricultural community opposes it. It undercuts rural economic development.
If Congress did throw out the monument's plan, the BLM would need to draft a new one that's significantly different from the current one, which was developed in partnership with local governments and tribal nations. Steve Block with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance says that creates uncertainty.
It's going to be much harder for BLM to manage the Grand Staircase Escalante as an intact landscape. I think there's going to be a lot of confusion about what can and can't happen in the monument.
He says if Congress goes through with doing this to Grand Staircase, they could easily do it to other national monuments. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
More than 50 local law enforcement agencies in the Mountain West have signed so-called 287G agreements to cooperate with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. That includes 10 in Idaho, 5 in Nevada, 1 in New Mexico, 16 in Utah, and 11 in Wyoming. In Arizona, where there are dozens of agreements, Pinal County's Board of Supervisors are trying to nullify one. Matthew Casey with the Mountain West News Bureau has more.
The Pinal County Attorney's Office says only itself or ICE can terminate a 287G agreement signed about 6 weeks ago to work together on violent crime task forces. And County Attorney Brad Miller is rejecting the board's claim that the deal is void. An analysis by a private law firm found that the deal assigns sheriff duties to the county attorney, which is inconsistent with the traditional separation of police and prosecutors. Miller has called the deal a force multiplier, giving his office federal database access and other resources. Matthew Casey, Phoenix.
In Colorado, there is one 287G agreement in Teller County, but state law prevents agencies from collaborating with federal officials. And incidentally, the county just south of Pinal County, which we just heard about in this piece, is Pima County. Pima has a long stretch of U.S. and Mexico border, and yesterday, the Pima County Sheriff's Office announced that a person was shot around 7:30 a.m. in an incident involving the U.S. Border Patrol. Very few details are available as of our press deadline, but it's newsworthy, as this incident in Arizona comes just 3 days after Border Patrol fatally shot Alex Preddy in Minneapolis, and weeks after an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer shot and killed Renee Good. And the Sundance Film Festival is underway in Park City, Utah. After more than four decades in the state, the festival will relocate to Boulder, Colorado, beginning next year. At one of the opening events on Thursday, Amy Redford acknowledged the transition, reflecting on the festival's origins and its future.
This festival has found a new iteration, which will be exciting, and it will be imperfect. And it might just feel like our beginnings over 40 years ago.
Robert Redford remained closely involved with the festival over the years. He died last September at the age of 89.
So the tributes, remembrances, and love that have come the way of me and my family has been comfort in a time of great emptiness. We are overwhelmed at the outpouring. I know there is loss, but there is also opportunity to remember what he did and why, and carry it with us into our choices.
The Sundance Film Festival runs through February 1st. Thanks to KRCL in Salt Lake City for that audio. Club 20 was founded in 1953 to give Western Colorado a unified voice at the state and federal level. KVNF did a profile of Club 20 just last March that you can listen to at kvnf.org. And according to reporting from the Montrose Daily Press, Club 20 has announced new leadership, naming Wade Harley as executive director and Andrea Wilson as chief operating officer. Club 20 is often described as the voice of the Western Slope. It's a nonpartisan coalition representing all 22 counties in Western Colorado, along with businesses, tribes, and local governments. You can get that full story at montrosepress.com. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, January 28th. We sure appreciate your listening. You can always listen and get more local and regional news at kvnf.org. You can also listen to the regional newscast on Spotify or YouTube. Just search for KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks so much for listening and supporting your mountain-grown community radio for Western Colorado, KVNF. I'm Brody Wilson.